Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 as we come to the grand finale of our Christmas messages. We started off with the theme of hope and then peace, joy, and then today the theme of God's love. The love of God that we receive in salvation, and we can step out and we reflect the love of Christ to everybody that we meet. And that's the meaning of Christmas, that Christ came to die for our sins, to save us, to forgive us, and to change us. You can come as you are, but we all need changed, amen, by the grace of God. And as we look at God's word this morning, John 3:16, we've got to stand again for this one. All right, so let's all stand. If you know it, say it with me. But we're going to read, let's read John 3:16, and then I'll continue reading down to verse 18. What a tremendous verse to look at today. John 3:16, ready, begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's read verse 18 together. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. John 3:16. 25 words in this verse. 25 life-changing, spirit-breathed words about Christmas. You say, what's John 3:16 have to do with Christmas? Well, everything. Jesus is the true gift of Christmas. It's 25 words summarizing the hope that we have. 25 words summarizing the peace that Jesus brings. 25 words summarizing the joy that we find. And 25 words describing God's love, God's mercy, God's offer of salvation. The gospel in a nutshell, as Charles Spurgeon called it. John 3:16, a verse that never gets old. A verse that more people know from the Bible than any other verse. John 3:16, all about Jesus, the perfect gift, the true gift. I like how Paul calls it the unspeakable gift. We can't even begin to speak about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Now, I'm curious. It's Christmas on a Sunday, and my kids were a little antsy to get home, and I think we had kind of thought about or changed courses on doing maybe one gift or something like that, but everything kind of got rushed together, so we're going to do all two other gifts for them, you know, after the service. How many of y'all have already opened all of your gifts, all right? I've opened all of your gifts. How many of you still have some more to share and give, all right? Excellent. How many of you, last night was the gift night? All right. Any last nighters? All right. There we go. Hilda's like, that's me. I'm getting that gift early. I can see you as a last nighter. You know, you're excited about it. I think my kids have figured out about half their gifts so far. And, you know, they've gone to the back of the truck and check things out and different statements and things of that nature. But we've got a few surprises along the way. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you know that, you know, it's true. It's one thing to receive something and have that happiness. It's quite another to watch someone receive a gift and see the joy and see the love and receive that love that comes. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to give gifts. I like to give good gifts. And every good and perfect gift is from above. We know that God is the author of gifts. He loves to give gifts. The Word of God says in James that there is no variableness. Neither shadow of turning, no partiality with the Lord. He gives good gifts to everybody. He has no partiality. He doesn't play favorites. There's a God in heaven who gives good and perfect gifts. The Father of lights. In other words, take a look outside and look up into heaven. The Father who created the stars loves you and has given you a gift. Now, We're nothing like that when it comes to gifts. We don't necessarily always give good and perfect gifts. Sometimes we mess it up. I gave a gift the other night. I'm going to say to who, but it didn't quite work out. It was the air purifier ion system, and it's supposed to be worn as a necklace. And, you know, as I looked at it, it seemed like a pretty good idea when I purchased it. But then when I gave it, I'm like, that's a weird thing. Who's going to wear an air purifier on their neck? Maybe get some tinfoil with it as well. I don't know, but it seemed like a good idea when I purchased it. I won't say who I bought it for. My brother's sitting over there, but you know what? And he's like, thank you for this, but you can have it back. And I'm thankful. I've got an air purifier. I guess I'll wear it around my neck. Or maybe it's an air conditioning unit. I don't know. I can maybe carry it with me. It's this little weird thing. And, you know, maybe I can do some Star Wars type thing, or Star Trek. And, you know, I really messed that one up. I think I got a couple other ones decently well. I mean, my wife loves scooters. That's a no-brainer. If you want to speak her love language, it's spelled C-O-F-F-E-E. It's, you all figuring that out, coffee, okay? She loves scooters. She loves all of that. I think that's how you spell it. Anyways, you know, you get good. I was actually researching. There's a scientific article on how to give good gifts. Interesting read. It's interesting. It says they've a scientific study, and there's a whole list of it. I'm not going to go through it all today. This is not a dissertation on good gifts from it comes from a secular perspective. But number one, it said the best gift you can give is a problem solver. And they said this, one of the biggest mistakes we make when buying gifts for others and for ourselves is thinking that giving more stuff makes people happier. That's backwards. Happiness doesn't come from adding positives, it comes from removing negatives. So when you're picking out gifts, find a problem in your recipient's life and solve it with generosity. Fix annoyances. Get their knives sharpened. I thought that was a weird one to say first. Buy them blackout blinds. Guess when the knives are sharpened. Or pay for a handyman to go to their house and fix up the little things like squeaky doors, broken light switches, and leaking sinks. Yeah, I need those things. Boredom. Fix. Plan a party or an outing with the gift recipients. Blind taste tests are a good idea for the scientific study. I don't know if they're looking for subjects to have for their tests, but prevent pain. If they complain about a sore neck, get them a session with a physical therapist. I thought that was pretty good. Assume responsibilities. Give them a gift certificate. I like this for a few days of pet sitting. And that's always good. Or pet taking. If you would like to have a golden retriever for Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. Or babysitting. No, I won't offer that. But warning, this will backfire if the gift recipient thinks you're irresponsible. Outsource chores. Give them a gift certificate for a home-delivered meal or home laundry service. Or get them some wool so they really have to wash and iron in the first place. Okay. Reduce environmental waste. Liberal hoopla. Warning, down here, don't solve problems they don't know they have. I thought that was interesting. Buying deodorant for a friend with body odor is a bad idea. This is an actual scientific article. I'll share it with buying breath mints for somebody. Not the best. And a weight loss plan will backfire. You know, it says give problem solvers. Aren't you thankful today that when Jesus Christ was given as the perfect gift, he solved our biggest problem. We need love. We need forgiveness. We need grace. We need mercy. We need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We need his presence. We need his power. We need Jesus. Everything and everyone is looking for something, and that something is a someone, and his name is Jesus Christ. You won't find it in a relationship. You won't find it in some sort of substitute addiction. You won't find it in any sort of sin, but you'll find what you're looking for. You'll discover what you need in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect gift, Christmas gift. This morning as we were out there in the getting ready, and the two that got up early were Karis and Kaylee, and Karis steps out and she puts a big old bow on her and she said, me is the gift. Me is the gift. And she put it on Kaylee. She is the gift. And I was like, all right, I thought that was cute. And yeah, I think you are the gift. She knows how to play it just right. You know that today that Jesus is the perfect Christmas gift. John 3:16 talks about Jesus. So just for a few moments, let's walk through the text. And we're going to take at the Lord's table on Christmas Sunday. Excited about that. Notice, first of all, the source of this gift. Verse starts off by saying for God. The sentence starts with a conjunction in the English language, the sense of a narrative. Jesus is seated with Nicodemus by night. He's one of 6,000, a Pharisee, one of 70, a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a ruling man. He's a religious man. He's seemingly outwardly a righteous man. He believes in God. He believes in the power of Christ, but he still needs that gift. He's afraid to approach Jesus by day and out of fear of what others might say of the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin. So he calls for Christ and meeting by night. I can almost imagine here it's on a rooftop scene, perhaps, where he sees the stars above, the Father of lights at night. Maybe the moon shining. Creation declares the glory of God. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Meaning, everything about God, everything you know about God from his word, you can see it reflected in creation. Just think of the changing seasons, and where there's death, there's life. The gospel is declared even through creation. But he's there at night, and Jesus says, for God. Perhaps the crickets hush as Jesus starts to tell the greatest Christmas story, for God. Remember, he's talking about himself, giving himself. It's in a third person narrative for God. He's God. He's fully God, fully man. God manifests in the flesh. If you can figure it out, you would be someone that would have an infinite mindset. So our minds are finite. So we don't know it. We can't figure it out. But we believe it. God said it. He says, for God. Now, Nicodemus's mind would have gone back to everything he learned about God. The I am that I am, the one who was eternal, self-existent, uncreated, the God who had need of nothing. The I am that I am, the one who is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's sovereign. He's king. He's God. That God, Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai, our God who is high and lifted up, our God who is worshipped by adoring angels, the seraphim and the cherubim surround his throne as they antiphonally sing, holy, 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 back and forth to each other for eternity and from eternity. That God. Yes. For God. The Lord God Almighty, the one who created all things, sustains all things, who gazes out after galaxy after galaxy, the one who has everything, needs nothing. It's this God who begins the initiative. It's not us that sought after God. No man seeketh after God. God sought after us. For God so loved the world. Not just the source of this gift for God, but the strength of this gift, so loved. The adverb so in the text is so powerful, it's almost untranslatable. In fact, if you look at the original, the sentence structure, it's first in the original text. Literally, we can't translate it this way because it wouldn't make sense, but the force of the language is so strong, the adverb comes first. So, for, loved God. That's how powerful it is. It's not just that God loved, God so loved. It would be enough if it said God loved. But God so loved. A love stronger than death. A love that won't let go. A love that many waters cannot quench. A love that suffers long and is kind. A love that never fails. A love that believes all, bears all, hopes all. The kind of love that passes knowledge. The kind of love, the self-sacrificial agape love that looks beyond the fault and meets the need. It's that kind of love. God really loves you. And God loves me. God loved you. God loved me so much. He sent his son to die for us. Jesus came as a man. Jesus came fully God, yet fully man. He was tempted in all points like as we are. You say, nobody understands what I'm going through. Jesus does. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest that we can go to at any moment who knows how you feel. He's touched by what touches you. He cares. He's concerned. He loves you. The strength of the gift. He's so loved. So loved. You read Greek mythology. Well, don't do it. Just watch the Avenger movies and you'll figure it out. Those gods don't love. They're always warring back and forth. They hate. They're all about power. You know, you'll never find love in any mythological religions. You study Islam. There's 33 names for God, direct names for Allah. None of them is love. But 1 John 4 says God is love. God loves you. And it's not just a love in the sense of some sort of affection or adoration. It's because he's holy. That's his defining attribute. It's a holy love. There's nothing more powerful than God's love. God's love changes us. God's love heals us. God's love forgives us. God's love restores us. God's love renews us. God's love encourages us. God's love comforts us. God loves you. God loves me. God so loved us. Do you believe that's true this morning? Amen. You're loved. You're not alone. God loves you. It consumed him. It cost him. He so loved, look at this, the world, the subjects of the gift, the source of the gift for God, the strength of the gift, so loved, the subjects of the gift, the world. The term here speaks of the entire human race. You say, I don't know if God loves me. If you're a member of the human race, God loves you. Amen. If you're here today and you've been let down, abused, ignored, mistreated, I'm here to tell you today there's a God in heaven who so loves you. Amen. He loves the world, everybody, without exclusion. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God loves you. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the love. He is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Word of God is clear. His love is for everyone. Don't let anybody convince you this Christmas season that God loves only a certain select people of those that are saved or those that he has predestined to be saved. Let me tell you today that those who are alive today, God loves you. Amen. Those who have ever lived, God loves you. Yes. Who does God want to save? The Bible is very clear that he will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 is clear. For he will have, he desires everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Not willing, 2 Peter 3:9, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're confused about who God wants to be saved, if you're confused about who God loves, at the end of the book, the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Ghost and the Church of God, stand up and say, come. Amen. Him that heareth, come. Him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him come, take of the water of life freely. God loves you. Amen. Look at the subjects of the gifts, the world. Look at the sacrifice of the gift that he gave. He gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, if you love someone, you give of yourself. Later in this book, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. God the Son stepped into this world from eternity. Because he loves you. God the Father sent the Son, but God the Son said as he was being sent, Hebrews chapter 2, a body thou hast prepared for me to do thy will, O God. He did not begin to exist in Bethlehem. He always existed. He was from old, from everlasting. He was the Son, the child born, the Son given. He came. He was given. He came. As a choice to give himself. It's foreshadowed and pictured in the Old Testament. When they would take that lamb, the spotless lamb, to the tabernacle in the temple and sacrifice it. Abraham was told to sacrifice his sons. And God provided a lamb instead. And I'm thankful for the sacrificial substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave. He could have given us everything. He could have given us angels, anything. He could have given us riches. He could have given us this or that. But all of it comes through his son. Look at the son of the gift. He gave his only begotten son. Powerful word, begotten. Doesn't mean that he began. It doesn't mean that he ended. His only begotten son speaks of God the Son. And the Son of God from eternity past, the one who was with God, who was God, as we saw last night. But it's interesting if you look at this verse, John 3:16, there's 25 words. The central word is the word son. Right in the center of this verse is the word son. And that's the way it ought to be at Christmas. That's the way it ought to be in your life. Amen. Jesus at the center. The son. Look at the stipulation of the gift, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Simply and solely, God has given us an unspeakable gift. God has given us a gift through his son, through himself. God has given us forgiveness of sins through the shed blood and atonement of Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He tasted death for every man. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You can be saved. He has offered forgiveness. He won't force you to be saved. You have to come to him in faith. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God's the one who sought us. God's the one who brought us. It's his spirit. It's conviction of the Holy Ghost on the inside that shows us that we're a sinner, shows us our need for a Savior. It's the conscience around us and through us that we know there is a right and there's a wrong. We know there's a Savior, that we need salvation. And then there's creation around us, and there's special revelation in his word that says God is holy, we are not. It's not a glorified quote book, folks. It's not a fortune cookie. It's a revelation of who God is. And this book declares that a holy God who is perfectly holy, who cannot have a single sin in his presence, who dwells in a place where there is none other, he is by himself. But that holy God and us, we who are sinners, God so loved us. And he commended his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when you were good, not when you were coming to church, not when you wanted to find Christ, but while you were a sinner, Christ died for us, and he loved us. And you must believe. You must receive. It's more than just turning over a new leaf. It's more than just taking your own, pulling yourself up from your bootstraps. You can't save yourself. There's a God in heaven who loves you, who died for you, that provided for you the offer, the gift of eternal life. Just imagine this morning if I wanted to give you this nice guitar. Thank you, Jeremiah, for offering it for the member who comes takes it first. Or this is Kevin's, I don't know. If I said, I've got a nice guitar for you, it's worth $1 million. High-end guitar. I'm not going to force you to take the guitar. But you have to come and receive it. How do you receive a gift? You've got to open it up. You've got to take it. You see, Jesus is such the perfect Christmas gift. Think about it. He was deity wrapped in humanity. Right. It's the first Christmas gift. And when you look at Christ and you see who he is, the more you look at Jesus, the more he fulfills and he knows that he meets every need. But you've got to open the gift. Somebody came to you today with a wrapped present. You take it, you open it. Or gift bag. I like those. Guitar. You come. And you receive it. And if you receive it, you thank the person who offered it. If I were to offer, and I made this illustration before, I offer $1 million. Last night we had Connect cards for all the guests. I think we got one, right? Zero. We got zero last night. And we offered a $100 gift card for the guests to fill out a card and would do a drawing. Maybe some of them thought they wouldn't make it or win it or whatever, or just were busy and didn't want to give their stuff out. And I think we're going to extend that today, right? So you got to, that's a gift, but that's part of it. You got to put down and do something. I'm thankful that God's salvation is not a random drawing. Everybody who comes. Now, if I were to say everybody that fills out a card get the $100, we'd probably get 50 or 60 cards out there. You're not waiting for God's love. It's not a random fill out the card and maybe, maybe not. Although I think that's a pretty good deal. This is everybody who comes to him in faith. The Bible says he will no wise cast out. That's a gift. $1 million for the first person who comes. And everybody who comes. This Christmas Sunday, you would be absolutely remiss to say, let me think about it. Let me hear a little bit more about that money. Can you tell me more about the bank where it's coming from? It's $1 million. Who'd take it? I don't know. Maybe later. You know, God offers eternity. God offers salvation, forgiveness, love through Jesus Christ to anybody who comes. And notice next, this gift It's a gift that has its everlasting life. The span of this gift hath everlasting life. I'm thankful today the Bible says those that come to Him shall in no wise perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth on Him hath everlasting life. He that has the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If I say today, come and receive salvation, but wait, there's more. You've got to attend this church. You've got to be a good person. You've got to do this, do this, that, and the other. You've got to be baptized. You've got to do all these things, and maybe, just maybe, you'll get the gift. That's not a gift. That's a work contract. God offers a free gift. Amen. All you have to do is personally receive that gift. And it's a tremendous Christmas gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to receive it? Are you willing to believe it? Are you willing to come to Christ today and say, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift? And those that have received the gift can't help but share it. Those that have received something so personal, so powerful, so wonderful, can't help but show it. Those that know Christ and His love are changed by that love and changed into the image of His glory by His power day by day. And I'm thankful for this Christmas. The incarnation reveals the perfect Christmas gift. Deity robed by humanity. The perfect Christmas gift, purity and innocence of a baby, the righteousness of God by faith. When Jesus went on the cross of Calvary, He took our sin. You want to think about the best Christmas exchange gift ever? We've had like several of the Dirty Santas and the Yankee Swaps, whatever you want to call it. Those gift exchanges get kind of crazy. I'm not a super fan of all those all the time. But think about this Christmas exchange. Jesus took your sin. We received His righteousness. Well, I've done this, I've done that, I've done so many things to give God all this, all this. The Bible calls that the righteous things, the good things you do, filthy rags. For the righteousness are as filthy rags. We've deserved nothing, we can do nothing to earn that gift. Great gift exchange. Jesus gave us His righteousness. He gives to us His righteousness when we receive Him by faith. And on the cross, Jesus paid it all. Yeah.